The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Gary, and hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening here on Down the Garden Path. You found us here at Reality Radio 101.
Yes.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. I know we're not really in the gardening mood, so to speak, as far as weather goes, but it's always nice to talk about it while we're cozy in our homes.
You know, I bet you, though, some people for Christmas have gotten gifts, perhaps like gift cards to gardening stores,
yeah,
and or, you know, new books, you know, the coffee
mm-hmm.
table books, gardening, planning, decks, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there are some people I think can't wait for spring and they're already thinking about stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The Landscape Ontario, we're of course here in Ontario, Canada, and Landscape Ontario is our kind of body of, you know, professionals association, and they held their kind of their workshops and their big trade show last week. So that was certainly,
yeah,
you know, everybody in the industry was out talking,
mm-hmm,
you know, meeting their vendors, looking at new products, what's new in the industry. And I was so excited because actually they usually have it the very first week back after Christmas. And it's so hard to kind of get ramped up for it again when you're just coming off the holiday season. So it was really nice that we had a week break,
mm-hmm,
and then it was the following week. So
and where
that was
that
really
held?
Good. That's held out in the west end of Toronto in Mississauga at the Congress Center, Toronto Congress Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very
so
nice.
That was good. And even though I know it was a little challenging for some of the contractors because we did get snow last week, so it makes it harder when they're up all night plowing for them to attend. But
yeah,
a lot, they said, you know, people I talked to, I walked the trade show on Wednesday, and it was a busy show. So definitely there's lots going on in the industry and lots of exciting things happening. So, and this is where you find out about it. So, you know, every week I try to talk about down-to-earth practical advice.
Yep.
For plants, gardening, landscaping, hardscaping, and of course, landscape design. And I've already started getting calls. I've had a couple of calls already from people.
I know.
They're thinking ahead. I had one customer, you know, because he knows his backyard's covered in snow right now. So he, you know, sent me some pictures. And, you know, we need to set up a time for when. It's always tricky because I never know when is, you know, when we can set up an appointment. So we kind of just play a little bit of email tag going back and forth. And when the weather's good, we get a good day, then I can kind of go out there. So I think people are definitely thinking about it. And
I definitely would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Canada Blooms is coming up and all the different other local home and garden shows wherever you are. I'm sure even in the U.S., you know, you have I think trade shows are a bit of hit and miss, but I think it is a nice way to, you know, something to do, and it's nice to get out of the house on in the winter and start thinking about spring and seeing what's out there and meeting people.
Yeah.
You know, because you can make a lot of calls. I know with the internet now, and you can find everybody in their website, blah blah blah. But there is something to be said for, you know, meeting somebody the first time, face to face. You know,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Finding a contractor and someone you want to use, a designer, anything, any supplies or any projects for around your home. That is the benefit, I think, of trade shows. I kind of go back and forth on whether it's a good idea or it's not. So
I like them. I mean, especially, you know what, for the gardening business, it's pretty cool because there's so many new products that come out every year.
Yep.
And people, a lot of times, as you say, they have a plan in their head, but they don't have a plan. So when you go to these shows, you kind of get better ideas, and then you'd say, you know, that's what I want for my deck, or that's what I mm-hmm. want for the side of my house, or this or that. So it's really good, and it does give you a break from the cold and old. You know, you're out there, and, you know, you can't wait to spring.
Yes.
And you're cooped up now in your house with your furnace running all the time. So, you know, it gives you a good break to go to these shows, folks. You should... you know, support them. They're yeah. great.
And I think a lot also, you know, we see so much on social media or on the internet, Pinterest, all those different things, products or solutions or businesses or companies. And then, you know, they look good on the computer, right?
Yeah.
And the product looks like it's going to work here.
Yeah.
But really, sometimes you just need to go out and see it and touch it and, you know, talk to somebody and find out that really that's not suitable for our climate.
Yeah.
You know, that product's not available here, that, you know, this is the alternative, that type of thing.
Right, right.
So I think, as well as solutions, you know, I think of a lot of some of the things that stood out to me, even at the industry show last weekend. You know, I get a lot of customers that want shade and, you know, trees offer shade, but not right away.
Yeah.
And the trend right now is for people building pergolas, you know, the little pergolas
right.
over their, either their eating area or
sure.
their sitting area. But even then, it doesn't provide a ton of shade, and it certainly doesn't protect from rain.
Yeah.
Well, there was one booth, and of course I don't have the card on me. Actually, it might be in the bottom of my purse somewhere, but, you know, a product that actually, you know, that's material, that's mm-hmm. fabric, but looked very user-friendly, not super high-tech, but very practical, that kind of goes above that and was easy to, you know, bring it back and forth and close it if you wanted to protect. You know, I'm sure in an actual downpour, it
yeah.
wouldn't work, but, you know, a nice light drizzle, that type of thing, certainly worked as a shade cloth. So, you know, something that you might not, you know, you're looking at pergola and you're not really thinking about the whole shade
sure.
issue, and then you see a product like that and go, hey, that's,
yeah.
you know.
That's pretty cool,
that's
right?
That's pretty cool, and that's going to help me. So sometimes it's a good place to see, you know, a solution that you might not have been looking for on the computer or, you know, anywhere else.
Yeah.
But when you visually see it in the booth, you're like, huh, I think I've got a use for that. So
well, that's why I say there's so many new products
yeah.
and coming every year. And you never know if you have ideas in your head, but you're not 100% sure. You sure you can do the research online. However, when you see this stuff in person and you see the reps that are, you know, representing the companies that manufacture these and have designed them, you can ask so many intimate questions and really get an idea if that's going to be for you,
mm-hmm.
right, in your garden. So
yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And on the topic of trends, so that's what I wanted to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I follow a lot of different bloggers and social media, a lot of articles out there, magazine articles included.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I mean, what are we going to talk about as far as writing about gardens?
I know what we're going to talk about.
What are we going to talk about?
The plant in the control room.
Yes. Oh, yes. You were saying you got compliments.
There's two or three people over the last couple of weeks, the plant you gave us.
Yes.
For folks listening. And it's sitting on an equipment rack here in the control room. And it's looking amazing.
It's in a year. It's really done well. No
gorgeous.
Natural light, people.
None.
Like because Gary doesn't sleep, so the
yeah.
lights in the control room are on all the time.
That's right.
So plenty of artificial light,
right.
but no natural light.
Is artificial light good for that?
Well, it's light. Yeah,
right.
It's, you know, it's not as
right.
the same.
It's not the same, right? But But I can't believe, and I, and every week I turn it. Like, yes. I saw you one time, you came in and you said, I got to turn your plant, yeah. right? But I turn it and I water it probably about once a week, once yeah. every 7 days. Excellent. I, you know, but it's, oh my goodness, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really doing well. Right? And I guess we need a few more. Now that yeah. we know that survived a year, you know, we might yeah. have to see what we can do.
Well, so thank you. So I just welcome. Wanted to bring that up to our listeners.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I've gotten so many compliments
that's,
on that.
That's funny because it seems everything's all equipment and soundproofing yeah, and all yeah, that yeah. stuff. And I'm very technical. Yeah. And then it seems weird for people to see a real plant as opposed yeah, to, you know, an artificial
right.
plant. So,
right.
So, yeah.
I love it.
So piggybacking, you know, got me thinking actually walking the trade show last week and reading a lot of the articles that are coming along right now. If anybody's following, you know, different articles or different writers online, everyone is the buzzword right now is trends and what's coming up for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a bunch of research this past week or so, just kind of thinking about how to succinctly talk about those types of things. Some of them, you know, that people are saying are happening. There's a couple that I kind of don't agree with, or maybe it's not going to happen here in our area as yet. But for the most part, I think I really could see. Because, you know, you hear about these things and, yeah, they're written
mm-hmm.
out by people, professionals.
Yeah.
But really, it's what I hear from my customers and what I hear people are asking for.
Yep.
You know, helps me to see whether that's really true. And, you know, some of the things are, it's not a trend, but it's kind of a thing that's here to stay.
Yeah.
And things like veggies, houseplants, putting houseplants outside in the containers. Our focus on native plants, which ties into the focus on pollinators and making sure we're planting things for the birds and the bees and the mm-hmm. butterflies. Those things that have been kind of trendy the last couple of years are no longer really classified as a trend.
Wow, really?
They're kind of here to stay.
Okay.
That's what people
we're
are.
We're assuming they're here and nothing. They're not anything special per se, right?
No. I mean, they're not calling it a trend anymore. Yeah. I think it's just an accepted part of gardening and part of being doing stuff outside.
Okay.
I think people are going to continue to want to grow vegetables in either in containers or in their gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And same with native plants. I think the whole native ties in, you know, to the most part to low maintenance.
Yeah.
And it kind of like kills two birds with one stone, which is yeah. a horrible analogy for the situation.
Yeah, we don't want to kill birds, but yeah, it's a
you know,
it's fine.
So it provides that low maintenance as well as most native plants contribute something to either pollen for the bees and mm-hmm. the butterflies, food for the birds, that type of thing. So I think that it's going to narrow down. I've did some reading today where people are actually going to have milkweed gardens, which, you know, it shows you how that plant has really taken a turn where it went from being labeled as a noxious weed and we were killing it with Roundup like crazy, which has led to the decline over the years to the monarchs. I think the latest numbers this past fall were the monarchs that migrated to Mexico were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully all this focus on pollinators and plants and really controlling the chemicals that we're using is starting to have a real impact again at improving.
Cool.
Yeah, improving that. So that's good. And to quote, that's my blurb and my take on it, but I wanted to quote Garden Design Magazine, so officially quotation marks reading
yep,
from their
no
article.
Problem. Sure.
It's the collective sigh of garden designers everywhere. Natives and drought-tolerant plants, container plantings, and edible gardens are at last no longer a trend, but are here to stay. In their wake is a mountain of new ideas ready to be reflected in the garden. And here's a collection of trending items, ideas we're talking about for 2016. So I didn't mm-hmm. incorporate all of the ones from their article. There's several different articles I kind of pulled my information on, as well as my, you know, frankly, it's my show, my own opinion, right?
That's
Can
fine.
I do that? It's my
yes.
own opinion. Jeez.
Absolutely. And we're listening to you. So.
Yeah. And I think you'll probably agree with me with this one is the use of technology mm-hmm. and gardening.
Yep.
Because if you think of some of the guests we've had on the show, and we had Dr. Alan Armitage on talking about his new app that's available.
Right.
And we had Tracy Blevins on talking about PlantsMap, which is a product. I guess it is an app as well, or a database, a way on social media or mm-hmm. on the computer to record your information on your garden and your photos and to share it with other people and not only build a community, but really compile a organizing mm-hmm. tool for yourself. And those are two, you know, interesting products, two great guests that we've had on the show. And, you know, I think that's an indicator that, yeah, I mean, technology has really come a long way in the garden. They're continuing to get more and more information that way. So whether you're young or old, people are going to websites, new apps to learn how to grow things or how to learn about different plants. And they're saying that the demographic that is spending the most money right now on technology is between 46 and 64.
That's very, very, very surprising to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
The technology people that age are spending money on technology. I just bought new computer 2 days ago, so I fall in there. But
you're a little different. I'll tell you why. Because not only do you have a show, but you have a business.
Yes.
And you also do that as a profession too. You're in business. You know, like if you design things or what have you. But the point is, a 46 to 64 year old, if you're semi-retired or you're not really have a business or this or that, you just want to come home and relax after dinner or whatever, it's surprising that they would spend money, a lot of money per se, on computers and iPads and this and that. I just don't see that. I see it more in the 20-year-olds.
Really?
20s, 30s, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they can't be bothered. They're doing it all on their phone. I think the iPad especially, I think, has had a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think people can, you know, it's like a book. They're reading on it.
Yeah.
They're using it, you know, carrying it around in their house, using it for references, you know. So I don't know. I kind of see that happening. People are taking it outside with them. You know, it's so portable.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Photos of their grandchildren, type of thing.
Yeah.
So I think
that's funny, though.
Yeah, I think iPad use, you know, they are. That is also the biggest demographic. Actually, might be kind of skewed a little higher for Facebook. And I think not only what I found, too, is it's not only, you know, the Facebook with your family and friends anymore, but Facebook groups are becoming much more popular. I know I belong to several and garden groups. So it's actually just garden people that are garden, you know, which ties into when we had Bren Haas on a couple times. She's got the hashtag Garden Chat. And that's on Twitter as well as the Facebook group. So there's people from all over the world every day constantly posting pictures, questions, sharing information, sharing articles about gardening.
See, and that's what Facebook is great for, to share that type of stuff. I just don't like Facebook for all the other stuff.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm there. I'm going for a donut.
Yeah. Well,
I'm stuck in
that
traffic.
Has kind of cut down to a certain degree.
It's terrible.
And I think the other one is Pinterest. I think that has created, you know, all you go on there and you see all these ideas and inspirations. And even if you're not looking for it, you know, it just is there in your feed. So that, I think, though, comes with both. I think all of that sharing online does come with a grain of salt. Like, I think it's a little bit of good and bad, kind of like Dr. Googling, you know, when you have a health, when this muscle hurts or that head hurts, you get on and you start to diagnose it.
Constantly.
Right? So and don't you dare go and say to your doctor, well, on Google it says,
they don't
want to
hear that.
They don't want to see that. So as a landscape designer and as someone who knows her plants, when you get on there and you start Googling and start researching things, you're not always going to get either the best information, the correct information, or specifically the correct information for you in your zone.
Yes.
So that's something to really, really take into consideration. And that happens to me a lot. You know, I'll finish a design, I'll leave the customers with a plant list, you know, and then they'll say they want to go ahead and order the plants. And then they come back and they say, well, this one says it's going to be, you know, I've heard that this one's going to be 40 feet tall and this shrub is going to be this. And it's like, no, you know, where are you
not
reading
here,
that? Because we're in Ontario and, you know, in Canada and we have winter and that's going to slow things down, you know. So you still, as much research as you're doing and as much as technology, I think, is having kind of a revitalization of gardening, Which it seems like it's an oxymoron, you know, to have technology and gardens, gardening connected. But I think it's going to be a good thing. And things like outdoor speakers, Wi-Fi, and even outdoor TVs, you know, those are all things that are getting people outside more.
Enjoying them on your deck.
Yeah.
And if you need a deck and you want a deck, Joanne Shaw is your lady to design that.
So
there you go.
Yeah, so there you go. So good or bad that we're, you know, we need to have Wi-Fi outside, that type of thing. But at least we're outside, right? So yeah, so
absolutely.
That's my number one big trend that I wanted to talk about today. And I think we'll pause.
We've got lots
of more to talk about, but why don't we pause for a quick break?
Okay.
And you are listening to Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw. And we will be right back on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking to reduce your pain, stress, or tension in your life? And increase your relaxation, inner peace, and energy? If you or a loved one is suffering from any of these medical ailments, then hand-to-heart healing is for you. Our services offer a variety of shiatsu and energy-based healing techniques that are suitable for clients of all ages, including infants. We are trained in Reiki, ear candling, metamorphic techniques, emotional freedom technique, vision improvement work, and much, much more. For appointments or information about our professional services to help you and your family, please call us at 905-728-9193. That's 905-728-9193. Or visit our website at www.handtoharthealing.com. Remember, at Hand to Heart Healing, we will help you get through your pain and suffering. When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-through yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing wood products at a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. This portion of Down the Garden Path is brought to you by Down to Earth Landscape Design. Call Joanne at 905-903-2597. That's 905-903-2597. Hey, now back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining me again tonight on Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We are talking garden trends, and the first one I mentioned in the beginning there was technology and the garden. And the next one is, you know, I think it's been around for a while, and I think it'll be around for a while longer, and it comes down to water. I think it's been in the news a lot, especially in the U.S., but all over North America, the importance of water and restraining of water and restraining use of water. So I think people are still don't want to, you know, want to focus on gardens that don't require a ton of maintenance, for sure. That's the top thing that people say to me. But really, by maintenance, I think water is top there. And I like to think about it as people, if you focus on the right plant in the right spot, then that is good for the plant area, is good for that plant, and usually that plant will require less water. Maybe not the first year, but over time, absolutely. So I think water and being rain garden, some of the different trends that are going to happen, that get just everyone thinking about how they use their water outside, I think is definitely going to stay a trend. I know I'd like to see more of my clients install irrigation systems. I've heard great things from the ones that do. They just really monitor. They aren't just a convenience. They monitor the water requirements. They control the amount of water that goes onto your lawn and garden. And they do it at the best time of day, early, early in the morning. And I know I have tried. I don't have an irrigation system. And I kind of have a wonky, because I'm a corner house, I have quite a bit of a long and narrow and around the corner front yard, which is right now still a little cost prohibitive to install a sprinkler or an irrigation system. And not much of my garden really does need it, but I know the few times I've watered, you know, some things, and I set my timer, I do all the different things to remind myself, and I have to say, I've had, despite my best efforts, I've had real trouble remembering the hose, you know, moving the hose around. And I've watered the street and watered the sidewalk and watered the driveway. I know. We all do it.
In the summer, I have the cleanest streets in Durham.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Seriously. And even the pool. We have a pool as well. Mm-hmm. And all our four family of four, you know, somebody puts the hose in and we just need to top it up a couple inches. And then it's like that middle of the night panic. Like, oh, my gosh.
Forgot to turn it off. Yep. It's right up at the top. So we're overflowing a little.
I know. And I know an irrigation system isn't going to help you with the pool. But that's something I think the cost that it has, you know, to install it, and the benefit over time, and more and more as your garden gets established, you use it less and less.
Yeah.
And we do have those seasons where, yep, you don't use it at all because it those rainy summers.
Yep.
And then you have the other opposite end of the scale where you're using it all the time because we're not getting any rain.
Yeah.
So so your garden and your yard is an investment. And that's just another, you know, trend, but also a wise tip, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing people have to, you know, just while we're talking about that, if you don't own or you can't put in an irrigation system, when you use a sprinkler, you do have to monitor it, because what happens a lot of times, you can set that sprinkler up at the right settings, you're getting good coverage on your lawn or your landscape. And then you have to pay attention to the weather, because when it gets windy,
yeah,
that's happened to me where there's no wind. You set it up. You're watching it for 20 minutes, you know, making sure everything is perfect. Yep. You got it perfect. You go away. You come back, you know, 20 minutes later or so, and water is all over your car and driveway and street. And you, why? Because there's a wind.
Yeah.
A wind picked up. So you're wasting a lot of water. Yep, so you gotta kind of keep track of that as well. Yeah. Right.
And it is so much harder when you're using the sprinkler to know, did I do enough? Did I water enough? Did I water too much? And that's, you know, it's built right into the system, the irrigation systems. And if your yard isn't very big, and you have access to the water outside, it's not really that as expensive as you think to install. So, and I think just having the sensors,
is a great
feature. Yep. So the next, it's kind of two trends in one. I kind of combined them, and that is kids. We're all having kids still.
Yeah.
But I think the focus. And I know I didn't attend last week. There was lots of things going on. And the designer conference, landscape designer conference, was on the Monday. And I actually did not attend this year. But the keynote speaker was talking about children and playgrounds and playing outside. And they're calling them Generation Z or Z. And they are born from 97 until now, I guess. And they are the most sedentary group of kids, you know. So really the push is on to get the kids off their devices, out of the house, outside. And so really that whole market to kind of cater to kids and families and getting them outside in nature.
Unlike the 46 to 64-year-olds.
Yes, who are sitting down with their iPad.
Previous notes.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to get those kids out there and a little bit less hamburgers.
That's right. That's right. So, so that's, you know, a real big growth area. Just different things in making the yards more kid-friendly. Thinking about that on how you use your chemicals in your yards. You know, if you're going to play the kids playing around on grass that's got chemicals on it, that type of thing. Which we don't really have as an issue here in Ontario with the herbicide ban.
No.
But
we do have fertilizer, which is nitrogen and stuff, which could hurt some people. It's not, that's not known really to be carcinogenic or anything, but kids could be allergic to it and stuff. And pets, you got to just be, you know,
it's just
careful.
One more unnatural, you know, manufactured thing. Type of thing. So I know with our kids, I mean, I think looking at local trails, if it's not in your yard, your own backyard, then things like the local trails, think of the zoo membership. That's a huge one. And we were just talking about this the other day with a group of moms they have young kids and my kids are grown. I think about that zoo membership we had when our kids were little. It was such a huge huge thing, big investment because worthwhile investment. I wouldn't say it's huge, but you went for the animals, but you also, you know, if you think about the rocks they climbed, the hills they climbed, the nature they saw, the
outside,
they're walking. And when you have the membership, you don't have to think that you're there. Oh my God, we're going to be at the zoo for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You can go for an hour. You can go for two hours.
Yep.
Even sometimes my husband, instead of, you know, he'd go on the weekends, he'd say to the treat boys for a treat, let's go to McDonald's. But instead of going to the McDonald's on the corner, he went to the McDonald's at the zoo.
Yeah.
So by the time you walked in, you ate at the McDonald's, you wandered around, saw a few animals, and then came back, it was a little adventure.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, that's something I had forgotten about with my young kid, my kids being grown now. But I was kind of recommending it to some others that I know with young children. And my neighbor bought it for her daughter who just had a baby.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
That was their Christmas gift was a zoo membership.
Yeah,
so that's a great thing. And have you heard of geocaching?
I was just going to ask you, what is that? I have not.
So that's something our family, my husband does it. We did it in Europe.
Really?
It's kind of a cool thing. So we could probably do a whole show on geocaching. But basically, in a nutshell, let's see if I can correctly explain it. All over the world, there are things, whether they be hidden by GPS, but hidden by coordinates, GPS coordinates.
Yeah.
So they could be buried in a garden. They could be tucked into a tree. They could be magnet. A lot of the people use magnetic cases. So they'll be in mall parking lots on the light posts.
See, I like that because I am a treasure hunter with
you?
A metal detector. That's a hobby of mine.
Oh, yes.
So I'm a metal detector person, right?
Yeah.
So I never heard of this.
Yeah. So when the kids were little, it was all about the treasure. So you would go looking you'd find the clues, and they were kid friendly usually. And you would go for a hike, and it was kind of like a hike with a purpose. And you would, you know, and then there'd be like a little Rubbermaid container, and it probably had like McDonald's toys or little, you know, little
who
trinkets.
Who does that? Who hides all this stuff?
People all over the world. And you do it. You have a little name and you follow it. It's all on, it's easier now because you can do it all from your phone. But, and there's a little logbook, and then you log in that you were here and you can click into the website and say that you found it, or let's say it's you couldn't find it or it gotten wet, or you can report that it's been damaged, or they call it muggled, you know, like Harry Potter, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's muggles, the people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so even in Europe, so we did four in Europe. We did two in Rome, and we did one with a tour guide, and she thought we were nuts. We were on, that was our Segway tour in this garden. We were on a Segways, and he was determined to find a geocache, and we couldn't find the first couple he looked for, but then we did find one. And I have to say, the tour guide's face when we're wandering around and she's poking at things and she doesn't even know what she's looking for. And again, because we have a language barrier, we're trying to describe what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then doesn't he move the plant over and, move some stuff?
Man.
And there's the container.
Into that.
And her face just lit up, little note.
But how do you know for this? Now, let's say I wanted to go out somewhere and do this.
Yes.
I have to go to a site first that says.
No, where you're visiting. Let's say you're going home to visit your mom.
Okay. Yep.
You're going to be in Rochester or that area.
Right.
So then you look up what geocaches are in that area, and there's probably one at the shopping mall in the light standard somewhere around, and there'll be a clue, there'll be a story.
Could I do that and plant stuff?
And like, can place one, if you wanted to. Yep. If you wanted to place one, you have to kind of register it and put it out there.
That is so cool.
My husband's done a few of those. So, so we did it a lot when the kids were younger. And now he and I do it. He drags us out.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
it's like a scavenger hunt.
It is very much like a scavenger hunt, but it's a great way to experience the outdoors, nature, new environment, a reason to go out for a hike, So we did it quite We used to do it with big groups of friends of ours. So it was a fun activity, and it still is. Like I said, I think we were in Corsica, which is, Napoleon's, where Napoleon's from, and certainly this one took him the longest. I actually had to sit down. Couldn't help him. It was the big monument to Napoleon, and he was wandering around trying to find the geocache, and it took him a little while, but he found it.
What was in it? What was it?
I think it was just a logbook that he just signed. So he did find it, and I think it was one, by the crooked branch on the tree. But, when you got there, all these trees were really old and a lot of branches were really crooked.
Oh, my goodness.
So we had to find the right one.
I got to do this. I never heard of it.
Okay,
And this would be something I would love. I love treasure hunting and stuff like
that's
that.
Definitely.
I love it.
So that's a huge one that I think I would recommend. Ties right in with our trends. The next one is they're calling it petscaping or dogscaping. And it ties in with kids in the way, especially for what we're doing different things in our yards to cater to them, but also thinking about what we're putting on our lawns.
Yeah.
Encouraging people to be more organic, be more, maybe not grass isn't the best choice because of how much goes into that grass and the dogs wreck it. And so having alternatives, I have designed a lot of different spaces where we've had a small requirement or a side project that really incorporates, a dog run or a shady spot for the dog or even just that one. They don't want any grass in their backyard aside from this little section. Sometimes we've done artificial grass just so that there's something for the dogs. So definitely if you think about it, all the stores you go into these days, even Canadian Tire, home decorating stores, they all have a section for pet supplies and all these different pet gadgets. And I really think that's, they say 65% to 67%, what I was reading today, of people have a pet. So
yeah, we
it's
love
huge.
Our pets.
We do. Yeah. We do. And we spend a lot of money on our pets. So,
That's amazing.
So that is another trend. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. We'll talk next about some design trends. So I don't know if you want to take another break.
Let's
do that. And as a landscape designer, I'm excited about the design perspective trends. So why don't you join us back here in a few minutes after this commercial break here on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
You have tried them all, but the best alternative is Yola's Caribbean Family Restaurant, located on Bond Street West in downtown Oshawa. This restaurant has been providing mouth-watering palate satisfaction meals for over 10 years. Yola's Caribbean Restaurant specializes in Caribbean cuisine, vegetarian and gluten-free meals. They also do catering for special occasions. Buy one meal at the regular price of $8.99 and get the second at one half price. Buffet for lunch and dinner is also offered every day. So call Yola's Restaurant at 905-240-3866. That's 905-240-3866.
Jackie's Critters and Things is your reptile destination for unique reptiles and reptilian supplies. Come visit Jackie, affectionately known as the Dragon Lady of Bowmanville, at her one-of-a-kind reptilian store. Learn about reptiles, their care, and find out more about the reptilian world. Browse the wide selection of livestock, including lizards, snakes, and other reptiles. Find premium feeder supplies, sure to satisfy your reptile's appetite, including crickets, silkworms, waxworms, superworms, and much, much more. Please check out the wide stock of supplies that will help you house and care for your reptile. Jackie's Critters and Things is conveniently located at 116 King Street West in Bowmanville, Ontario. For more information, please contact Jackie at 905-419-2006. That's 905-419-2006. Or go to Jackie's website at www.jackiescritters.synthesite.com. Remember, Jackie's Critters and Things, for all of your reptilian needs.
Big, big booty, what you got? A big booty. Big, big booty, what you got? A big booty.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne now, send her an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com.
You are just absolutely booty.
And now, right back to your host, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome back, everyone.
And I'd like to do a plug for Down to Earth.
Oh, would
if
you?
I may.
You've already done one, but
I'd like
you
to do another one. Could I do another one?
Sure.
All right. Folks, you know, this is the time of the year. If you're going to do something very special for your garden, it could be planting something new, perhaps building a deck. Perhaps you need that retaining wall. Now is the time to talk to a professional landscape designer. And that designer is Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Now is the time to plan, think things out, so you're all prepared to go at the beginning of the spring season. You want to make sure that you get all this stuff ready, pick out the stuff you want, design the perfect plan for you. Now is the time. How do you do it? Simple. Call this number, 905-903-2597. That's 905-903-2597. That's Joanne Shaw. Her company is called Down to Earth Landscape Design. You'll be glad you did that. So there you go, Joanne.
Thank you very much, Gary. We are talking. Thank you very much. It is a good time, and it's a good time to start the conversation. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We were talking garden trends, and I know I said after the break we would talk about the design aspect of it, but I just found the quote. You know how I was saying about 65 to 70% about dogs. We're talking about pets. So I did find the quote here. So according to the 2015-2016 APPA National Pet Owner Survey, how's that for official? 65%.
Nice.
So it is American statistic, but 65% of U.S. households own a pet. Pet owners spend about $60 billion, that's with a B, dollars.
Wow.
On their pets each year, second only to Christmas spending. And this is the
wow.
most fascinating thing, is their gardeners.
Really?
A survey by the Philadelphia Flower Show and Subaru found a direct correlation between pet owners and gardeners. Isn't that interesting? So
it is to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you're talking some serious money. There's some countries, literally, that their gross national product
yeah.
is not $60 million.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. So that definitely it factors in outside their design, the layout, the chemicals they use or not use, the choices that they make definitely has an impact, and people are considering
mm-hmm.
their dogs. So, yeah.
And you have one or two dogs.
I no longer do my weep in November. I don't know if I mentioned to you.
You
yeah, we had to put our dog down in November, end of
oh,
November.
I'm so sorry.
So
you
yeah,
didn't tell me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. So we are petless at the moment. I have definitely have a husband and two kids that are trying to convince me to jump
Tough.
Back in again. But it's hard to, you know, it's hard. It's not a great time right now.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure. The first time was a bit of an impulse 7 years ago, and so I want to make sure we think this one through. And So
I'm in the same boat.
You're in the same boat, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a commitment, you know, and you don't want to do it lightly.
Yeah.
I know we will definitely do it again. I mean, I do miss it. I miss walking. I miss being outside.
Yep.
Definitely. How about you?
And I had a golden retriever, and she was beautiful, but she ended up having cancer.
Yes.
And but the walks, and she's loving the swimming in the summer.
Yep.
It gets you out. It gets you to nature. It gets you, you know, out on trails and dog parks. It was wonderful, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And that's why, I mean, that's why people do it, right?
Absolutely.
That's why people own them. Yep. So, so definitely. So design, I wanted to get in before we go. Oh my goodness, the time is, I guess I can talk a lot, right?
It's beautiful. We are a wealth of information.
We are today. So I do want to hit on a few of the design trends. So, and I'm kind of happy about this one. So design-wise, quote-unquote experts are saying that we'll be moving slowly away from those all perennial gardens, the ones I don't design like that. But anyway, there's a lot of people that do. And, you know, perennials and annuals, that type of thing, just towards all that type of flowers, all about the flowers, to a more layered look, containing more, you know, shrubs, trees, evergreens, that type of thing. And I really think this is a positive. This is such a positive. This is how I design. I think it's a positive because it's lower maintenance and it provides seasonal interest, especially for us here in North America where we have multiple, you know, seasons. And, you know, you want something looking good in the garden all year. And for the most part, you know, perennials, you know, they may last 2-3 weeks at best. There's a few that do bloom all summer.
Yep.
But, you know, I think in the long run, you know, you're making that investment. And yes, a cost of a tree, investing in a tree versus a perennial is a, you know, huge different price difference initially, but I think over time that tree is going to live a lot longer. That tree is going to provide much more for the environment, much more for your satisfaction, whether it be shade, whether it be privacy, or just enjoyment. I think that type of garden is cheaper, more cost effective, more beneficial in the long run. So
absolutely.
I'm really excited about that, to see people, you know, choosing the lower maintenance perennials, the things that get you the biggest bang for your buck. I know we had Dawn on last week, and she, her business at gardensplus.ca, she focused on perennials and even does the, they are such a successful plants that they can survive being mailed, you know?
I can't believe she said that.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. So definitely. I think that is a great trend that I'm looking forward to seeing and having everybody focus on that. And I think people are some people are focused on that. And I know a lot of my customers, in addition to asking for low maintenance, they are asking for seasonal interest, you know, because we are outside as much as I think we should be outside more. We weather-wise, we can only be outside a few of the months of the year, but the rest of it, we're inside looking outside. So.
Yeah.
I think we want to be able to enjoy those seasons that way too. So, and then the next one that still kind of has to do with design is color. It's all about color, and in a different way. So, color is changing.
Except yellow.
Yeah, not just with the plants. Well, maybe a bit of yellow. Not just with the plants and the foliage, but also we've seen just gradually the last year or so with accessories. You know, you're starting to see bistro sets in red instead of black.
I know,
and containers being in bright colors instead of black and brown and terracotta that they used to always be, right? So things are becoming more the decorative accessories, the adding the cushions to our backyard, those type of things. Those are all bright colors.
Just like one of your guests who, the deck store guy.
Yes, yeah.
The composite he was talking about now, it used to be just 2 or 3 colors.
Yeah.
And now he's got a book of colors.
Yeah.
You can get anything.
Yeah.
Color is everything, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so the trend is they're saying that is moving away from, you know, brown and black, you know, structures, whether it be fences, gazebos, arbors, and even decks, are the growing trend is to have different colors. So having them be blue, navy blue, or black fences or screens instead of just, you know, that leaving it brown or silver or gray, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And you're right. The growing trend to using composite decking fits right in with that.
Absolutely.
Because it's more environmentally friendly, it's lower maintenance,
yep.
And now more and more they're becoming colors. Available in a wide array of colors.
Wide colors.
Yep, absolutely. So that's what they're saying. They're saying that, you know, we're going to start seeing things be a little bit more noticeable in the garden and kind of get away from that. And it'd be nice. You know, everybody's got those cedar fences and... You know, it'd be nice to see some color added and kind of change that up.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be interesting. And I read about that in a few different places. So I think that'll be good. And I think it takes guts, though. That first person that paints their fence blue or, puts that new screen or that new arbor up and has a different color, you know, it's a little risky. But
it is. Bright orange.
Yeah, there you go. But I think it's going to be interesting to see. So.
But the nightmare for your neighbors, for you,
for me?
Would be something yellow.
Yes.
Like, could you imagine someone painting their fence bright
yellow? I know, bright yellow.
Oh, you wouldn't like that.
No. I don't know. I don't know that they're talking that, but they're definitely thinking colors a little bit outside the box for sure.
Yeah.
So that's a neat trend. And I think this one ties back to our first one away is because it's, again, kind of technology based. But in order to be outside so much that we want to encourage people to be outside, lighting has come a long way. And I know we've had Eddie on the show and we've talked about the lighting.
Yep.
And if you think about how much people spend on their gardens and their yards and they come home from work and it's dark and they can't see it, right?
I know. It's terrible, right?
So really, you know, the increase in technology in lighting is one thing, and sound. You know, people are all these new outdoor speakers. You know, they first came out, they were pretty hokey, right? They're supposed to look like a rock and they were like fake rocks and they were like a beacon for this is a plastic blob in your yard.
Yeah.
But they've come a long way.
Yeah.
And so definitely they are using, you know, increasing that. It's kind of a spinoff that's going towards being using technology in your yard and lighting and sound for the garden and the yard. So when after work, you can enjoy your yard after the kids. So we found that a lot too. So we, you know, after work, then the kids would have activities. Then you come home late again and you really can't see your yard. So I think lighting is definitely key, as well as all the different, looking at those different sound systems and outdoor speakers that are available now.
Does the lighting include all the Christmas lights I still have up?
I know. We do too. Well, we have them unplugged. So we have spotlights, so I just unplug. Just unplug them.
I will. I know.
So I think the key thing there, more with the lighting than with the sound, of course, is a plan. So even if you haven't done your landscaping yet and you know, I think it's something to think about in your plan.
Yep.
And even if it's not at the first stage, that's the best thing about a plan is not everybody, most people can't afford to do everything all at once. So having a plan, you're able to stage what you want installed.
Sure.
And so if you plan for the lighting, you have the conduit, you have the thought, everything thought out, then you're prepared and it's even more cost effective.
Instead of having to fix
things or undo what you did to fix it
add
lighting.
Which is more expense, more time.
Absolutely.
And as I say, folks, you know, with Joanne, you get a plan, you get it on paper. And if you need to change things here and there, at least you can see it on paper.
Yeah.
Instead of just going out and saying, we're going to do this, put it all in, like Joanne said. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, maybe we shouldn't have bought that, or that doesn't look good there. And we should have planned that out because we spent a lot of money on that and it really doesn't look well, right? That's not the way to do something like this.
Yeah. You know, you want to do it on. Yeah. It's definitely easier to fix it on the paper than it is to fix it once it's been built,
and that was
right?
My
and
point,
installed.
Right.
Yeah. For sure. So the other trend, just to wrap up, the other trend that some of the sources were talking about were a move away from the minimalist look and, getting more fuller and busier yards. And I don't know. I think that one is still on the shelf. I think people are still looking for low maintenance. I think they're still looking for clean lines.
I am.
I know all the brick companies are going with bigger, larger bricks, larger stones.
Yeah.
With the cleaner, you know, easier to make clean lines as opposed to curves with them. So I really think that trend is here to stay for a little bit longer. I think people are wanting to do kind of mass planting, same group mm-hmm. of plants, have big impact. So it still kind of has that clean, you know, a lot of plants or a lot of interest, but cleaner lines because it's not as busy. So that's just one trend. I don't know. I don't see it with my customers in my area, you know, actually happening. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think that, you know, maybe it's not going to be as formal. I don't know. Well, but we'll see. I think the trend still, especially from the hardscaping standpoint, is still to be a little bit on the minimalist, that's a word, side, and clean lines and lower maintenance and having things, you know, a little bit easier. So not so busy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Low maintenance, man.
Yeah, that always tends to be the buzzword.
Yeah.
So those are just some of the things that I've been reading about and thinking about. And I'd love to hear what you're thinking about or what you're more interested in listening to on the show. I'm always looking for ideas and researching topics. So I just want to thank you, as always, for joining me here and listening to Down the Garden Path. And as a landscape designer, I think it's important and very possible to have a great garden that is low maintenance.
And you and folks, Joanne can help you out with that.
Yep.
Just remember, Down to Earth Landscape Design, that's Joanne's company. And again, if you're sitting there, get your pen out. Here's the number to call, 905-903-2597. That's 905-903-2597. This is the time to start thinking about what you want to do in the spring and summer.
Definitely.
Right? Yep. This is the time right now.
This is the time. So, thank you for joining me on the show tonight. And as always, please, you know, you can contact me on the phone number that Gary mentioned, but you also can email me. All my information is on my website at downtoearth.ca with the number 2. So you can find me there. And if you're interested in any type of topic or guest that you know of, then I'm happy to hear about it. So please contact me, and I look forward to next week and you joining me down the garden path once again. So thank you very much for joining us here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.